A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Pure Devotional Service, verses 27 to 37. Verses 27-28. Jata shadha mat katasu nirvina sarakarnasu veda dukat makan kaman paritage pyanishara tito bajeta mam pita shathalar jitanishaya Translation. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Mukam karati vachalam bangam langayate Yakipam Tamaham Bande Shi Gurun Jinatarinam Om Agyana Timiranasya Agyanan Shana Shurakaya Shakshirmini Tanyena Tasme Shi Gurun. So what do you remember from chapter 19, which is about, what's the title of the chapter? Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, okay? Yes, Abhay? Oh, no, chapter 19, the chapter before, Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Yes, Aikrush?
Best charity is giving up all aggression.
Best charity is giving up all aggression. Okay, ahimsa. Yes? Next. You don't remember. Oh, we'll come back to you. Leela Shuka? Was your hand up?
Real happiness.
For what is real happiness? I approve. Oh, you have something else. Oh, okay. Prashanti, you know what is real happiness? No, you have something else. Okay. We're still trying. We're aspiring. We're aspiring for happiness. I approve, yes?
Heroism is overcoming one's nature.
Ooh, heroism is overcoming one's nature. Wow, that's, yes?
The path is following Krishna's instructions, and the wrong path is what brings confusion in the mind.
Ooh, the path is following Krishna's instructions, and the wrong path is what brings confusion in the mind. Okay, Kalpit? Purport to text 15, one should see everything in relation to Krishna. That's a theme of this whole Uddhava Gita. Okay, yeah, Abhay?
Through creation, maintenance, and destruction, still the soul should be steady.
The soul is steady. Prashanta?
I have a vague remembrance of that chapter.
It was only 2 days ago.
So qualities were described.
Yeah, different qualities, very good.
And
devotional service. Oh, yeah, just seeing good and bad. That's not a good quality. That's a bad quality. It's so confusing, huh? First he's telling all the good and bad, and then he says, but if you see like that, then this is bad. Yes?
Real happiness is to become beyond the duality of happiness and distress.
Real happiness is to go beyond the duality of happiness and distress. Did you have your hand up? Okay. Same instructions that Bhishma gave to Yudhisthira, Krishna is giving to Uddhava. Yes. Okay. When after, if we can use Gyan to get bhakti, but after we get bhakti, then we just forget about Gyan, like a bad dream. Yes.
Heaven is where sattva predominates.
Heaven is where sattva predominates.
And hell is when ignorance predominates.
Hell is where ignorance predominates. Okay. Heaven and hell.
And the best dakshina is Jnana Sandesha, which has different explanations. One is to be very inquisitive. Inquisitiveness.
Okay.
Another is to share the bliss of kirtan.
Share the bliss of kirtan. Best dakshina is to share the bliss of kirtan, be inquisitive.
Perpetuate the knowledge.
Or perpetuate the knowledge. That's the best dakshina. Okay. How about chapter 20? That's the one we're on. Yes, Lila Shukha.
Start with pious and
impious. Pious and impious? Okay.
But ordinary pious and impious activities, they will not lead one to liberation.
Okay, ordinary pious and impious will not lead you to liberation. Oh, wait a minute. I have something here from chapter 19 I forgot to tell you. From Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a quote on the verses 36 to 39. Greatest charity, real heroism, and absorbing the intelligence in me constitutes mental equilibrium and complete discipline of the senses of self-control. So there, this verse is quoted in CC Madhyalila 19:2-13. And there it is said that the word shama, or shantaras, indicates one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhamma means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. And so this is endurance of unhappiness is titiksha, and driti means controlling the tongue and genitals. So here it says this is actually shantaras qualities. These are qualities of shantaras.
They quote this shamamandishatabu there in many places. That this is the definition of shantaras.
It's the definition of shantaras. So this verses 36 to 39 is the definition of shantara. So Brijam Prabhu mentioned that, is it? No. Anyway, this is something interesting that I found. Oh, it was in the purport. Okay, good. Madhya 19:2-14, also giving up all desires not connected with Krishna is the business of one who is in shantaras. So these verses are about shantaras. Okay, so chapter 20. Anything else on chapter 20? Lila Shukha?
The whole Vedic literature.
So the literature is telling this, what is good, what is bad.
Krishna describes the three paths, saying that only these three paths lead to him. Karma yoga.
Karma, jnana, bhakti. Okay, yes? Yes. Real piety is to adhere to your duty in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Yes, Lila Shukha.
I will draw some quotes from Burijan.
Oh, quotes from Burijan. Let's hear them.
The Judeo-Christ.
The mind does not seem to give up the hope that there's happiness here.
Verse 18.
Devakinandam.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commented that through transcendental knowledge, one can achieve liberation, but by having pure loving devotion, one can achieve Supreme Personality, Kingdom of Supreme Personality of Godhead, which includes liberation.
Okay, by devotion, you can achieve devotion to Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, which includes liberation. Okay, yes? Faith in?
Narrations
of Krishna, that's the difference between bhakti and other paths. Okay. So I'll just read a few comments from Satyaraj on these. Like verse 1, it's talking about the positive and negative injunctions. And he said, and he comments that distinguishing between good and bad will help one reach a certain level of goodness, but when one reaches a level of advanced goodness, he must move beyond the dualities of this world and be engaged in Krishna's fully spiritual service. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you all a question from these verses of Burijan. Who needs to be conscious of dualities and follow the rules and regulations? Which person has to follow? It's one of the verses. Abhay? Yes, attached. There's another disqualification also, another thing. Yes? Okay. There's two disqualifications here of a person who that shows that he has to follow the rules and regulation. Adi Purush?
One is not developed disgust or detachment.
Yeah.
And the other
He's not satiated by fruitive activity.
And the other one, he hasn't developed faith to, in Krishna Katha.
Yes, taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtan. This is verse 9. Verse 9 tells the disqualification of one, or one who has to actually follow the rules that of the Vedic injunction, if he's not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service. Very good. You have understood. So, then Siddhiraj also comments that those who are devotees in pure goodness have a natural tendency to follow the rules and regulations. But they accept those things conducive and reject those things not conducive to spiritual service. So I have something here on verse 8 as well. Oh, yeah. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glory, such a person, being neither very disgusted nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion. So here's one. If you have faith, then if you're not too attached or detached, then you can follow bhakti. So there's a comment in Madhurya Kadambini, the first chapter, and this verse is quoted. The word yadrichaya, or own volition, means that bhakti is free to act at will. So, but some people interpret this meaning as a sort of a luck or fortune, but actually it's not that. It's like bhakti is independent and can bestow by bhakti's own will. Okay, so this chapter 20, it begins with the different statements for people of different levels of advancement, the three paths. And then we did verse 8. And then Karma Yoga, it talks about Karma Yoga between verses 9 to 17. And we just quoted that from verse 9. Then from 18 to 26 is more about the mind control and jnana. And so then now from the section we have today, it's the super excellence of bhakti. And the first verse that we're discussing today is verse 27 to 28. And this verse, according to Madhurya Kadambini, describes the fourth level of anishtita bhajana kriya, or unsteady devotional service. The fourth level, somebody who's struggling with the senses.
Where is that?
Madhurya Kadambini.
No, in the Bhagavata?
No, it's in verse 27 and 28 that we're discussing. The first verses we're discussing today. 27, 28, according to Madhurya Kadambini, they quote this verse and say, this shows the fourth level of unsteady devotional service, vishaya, sangara, or struggle with the senses. So it sounds like a struggle if you hear this verse. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but... So he has the intellectual understanding, he has faith, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. So he's struggling. This person's struggling in devotional service. My devotee, so now Krishna tells what to do, should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he's sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So here, the struggle is right in the verse here, that you know everything, theoretically you have faith, you're a devotee, but still you cannot give up your material desires immediately. You still sometimes fall down. Purport, the beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. A sincere devotee has practically seen that all material activities lead only to sense gratification, and all sense gratification leads only to misery. Thus, a devotee's sincere desire is to engage 24 hours a day in loving service of Lord Krishna without any personal motivation. Devotee sincerely desires to be established in his constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor, and he prays to the Lord to elevate him to this exalted position. The word anishwara indicates because of one's past sinful activities and bad habits, one may not immediately be able to completely extinguish the enjoying spirit. The Lord here encourages such a devotee not to be overly depressed or morose, but to remain enthusiastic and to go on with his loving service. So the child, he's learning to walk, he may fall down sometimes, So this is the position of this devotee, that he tries really hard, but still sometimes he engages in sense gratification. The word nirvana indicates a sincere devotee, although somewhat entangled in the remnants of sense gratification, is completely disgusted with material life and under no circumstances willingly commits sinful activities. In fact, he avoids every kind of materialistic activity. The word kaman basically refers to sex attraction and its byproducts in the form of children, home, and so forth. Within the material world, the sex impulse is so strong, even a sincere candidate in loving service of the Lord may sometimes be disturbed by sex attraction or lingering sentiments for wife and children. A pure devotee certainly feels spiritual affection for all living entities, including the so-called wife and children, but he knows that materially bodily attraction leads to no good, for it simply entangles one and one's so-called relatives in a miserable chain reaction of fruitive activities. So that's the downside. He knows, but still he cannot give up his attachment. The word dritta nishchaya, steadfast conviction, indicates that in any circumstance the devotee is completely determined to go on with his prescribed duties for Krishna. So then here is a prayer in this purport. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. So this is the strong faith, because even though he's still attached, he won't stop his service. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I'll never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not even be slightly interested. Although I'm attached to material things, so still he's struggling. So now he says, I won't accept these things. But the next one he says, I am attached. He says, even if Lord Brahma comes, but still, even Lord Brahma doesn't have to come, he's still attached with his family. To material things, I can see very clearly they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I'm patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. So this is the feeling of the devotee. Here it says, although sincerely lamenting occasional lapses into sense enjoyment, he never gives up his enthusiasm to serve Lord Krishna. So this is the positive side. Now here's a negative side. What happens if you give up your enthusiasm? If a devotee becomes too morose or discouraged in devotional service, he may drift into an impersonal consciousness or give up his devotional service to the Lord. Yes, you can. If for some time you lapse, you don't chant your 16 rounds, then after some time you may say, oh, this is impossible, I just can't do it. It's not. How can I chant my rounds? One should understand, because of his past sins, he must occasionally suffer disturbances from the material mind and senses. One should not therefore become a devotee of detachment, as do the speculative philosophers. Although one may desire detachment to purify one's devotional service to the Lord, if one becomes more concerned with renunciation than with acting for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, he's misunderstanding the position of loving devotional service. So he may get so depressed, he'll say, I'll just leave this family and give it all up. But if he's not without faith in Krishna, without devotion, then it will not last. It'll be temporary. And then I know somebody who gave up his family maybe 15 years ago, came to Vrindavan, became Vanaprast, and then he got married to another lady with three kids. So because he was too attached, and he thought, okay, now I'm old, now I'm over 50, I should renounce, go to Vrindavan. But he came here, and then he just, again, got married and had another family. So that's not the way to do it. Just renunciation will not help. Simple renunciation will not help. You have to have a higher taste. So here it says, one must believe Lord Krishna is all-merciful, and he is the only real goal of one's life. Such determined faith combined with a sincere desire to give up sense enjoyment will carry one past the obstacles of this world. So then he goes on. The words jata, shadha, mat, katasu are most significant here. By faithful hearing of the mercy and glories of the Lord, one will gradually be free from all material desire and clearly see at every moment the utter frustration of sense gratification. Chanting glories of the Lord with firm faith and conviction is a tremendously powerful spiritual process that enables one to give up all material association. So many of us who joined in the old days, that's how we got the higher taste, through kirtan, because that's all there was. It was just Harinam all day and all night. And that's how we were able to give up the... that's why I joined the temple. I went on Harinam. Of course, I was going for 5 months, but then what actually made me, gave me the inspiration or impetus to move into... I mean, becoming a devotee in those days means you move into the temple. So what gave me the impetus was going on Harinam with that Vishnu Jan Maharaj for 2 days. And that was enough. Then I just thought, well, I'm so happy here. Why should I go back? And my husband was there, and I went and said goodbye, and I moved in the temple. Then he joined 2 months later. But still, it wasn't easy to do that. But you need a higher taste. You can't just say, okay, I'm just going to leave and go and become a devotee. You need a higher taste. So Madhuri Kadambini quotes this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's in the second nectar shower, Anishtita Bhajana Kriya Vishay Sangara. So then they quote another verse here, which it doesn't give where it's from. It says, one whose heart is absorbed in materialism is far from obtaining devotion to Vishnu. Can a man, by going east, obtain something that is in the west? So that's what it said. How can you, you know, you're going towards material life, how can you get bhakti? Seeing that material enjoyment is forcibly carrying him away and impairing his steadiness in serving Krishna, the devotee resolves to renounce his addictions and take shelter of the holy name. But many times, his attempts at renunciation often end in enjoying what he's trying to renounce. So he says, I'm giving this up. But then it just makes his desire stronger, and then he goes back and enjoys that. And so then he says, such a person is exemplified in the Bhagavatam, these two verses. So this is the example. These two verses are the example of a person who tries to renounce but ends up in enjoying what he tries to renounce. So this is this ongoing battle with his desires for sense enjoyment from former habit, where he sometimes meets with victory and sometimes with defeat, is called Vishaya Sangara, or struggle with sense pleasure. So there's 6 levels. We've been concentrating on the 2 middle ones, which are Vyuddha Vikalpa, that's indecisiveness, and Vishaya Sangara. And that is, so we will also hear another verse in this class about the indecision again, Vyuddha Vikalpa. The first level is Utsaha Mai, that you're very enthusiastic when you become a new devotee and you try to preach to everyone, although you haven't realized anything, and you can fall down at any moment yourself. That's Utsaha Mai. And then Gana Tarala means the second level, where it's thick and thin. Sometimes you're into it and sometimes you're not. Sometimes you get up early and go to Mangalarti, and sometimes you sleep till 6, 7. And then the third level is indecision, Vyuddha Vikalpa, and the fourth level is Vishaya Sangara, struggle with the senses. The fifth level, Niyamakshama, that is, you make resolutions, but you always break them. You try, okay, from today, I'm going to do this. I am going to give up overeating from today. Then a feast comes, and you're finished. Tarangarangani is when, these are for the preachers, you get money, you get so many things, and then you get attached to the facilities. People give you money, people give you nice place to stay, nice food sometimes, sometimes not. But anyway, you get attached, or to a room, or to this, or to that, which comes from bhakti. So these are the 6 levels of unsteady devotional service. Okay, now that was verses 27 and 28. That was Bhajana Kriya, unsteady. Now, verse 29 is Nishta and Ruchi. It's Anishta. When an intelligent person engages constantly in worshipping me through loving devotional service as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me, since all material desires within the heart are destroyed. So before I read that verse, comments by Jiva Goswami from Bhaktisandarbha on 27 and 28. He talks about full faith in the Lord is higher than mere knowledge of the Lord. So faith is higher than knowledge, he says. A faithful person who performs his prescribed duties need not worship the deity or perform similar activities. However, until one comes to that stage, one should faithfully worship the deity and perform similar activities. Even a faithful devotee may, because of bad karma, still be engaged in material activities. However, by humbly engaging in devotional service, the devotee will certainly shake away all attraction to matter. So now in verse 29, before that, Jiva Goswami says that discussing the relative merits of the yogas of karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga, the next five verses from 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, the Lord treats knowledge and work with contempt and declares the primacy of devotional service. So verse 29, he says, to show contempt for the diligent performance of austerities. He speaks this verse. So, purport, material senses are engaged in gratifying concoctions of the mind, causing many types of material desires to become prominent one after another. One who constantly engages in devotional service of the Lord by hearing and chanting the Lord's transcendental glories with firm faith gets relief from the harassment of material desires. So when you perform devotional service, your heart becomes, you get nishta, all your material desires are kicked out. And this is what the purport says, that Krishna is the only enjoyer. And he goes on, a devotee of the Lord situates Sri Krishna on a beautiful throne within his heart and offers the Lord constant service. Just as the rising sun gradually eliminates all trace of darkness, the Lord's presence in the heart causes all material desires to weaken and eventually disappear. The words Mayi Hridi Stite indicate an advanced devotee sees Lord Krishna not only within his own heart, but within the hearts of all living creatures. Thus a sincere devotee who chants and hears the glories of Krishna should not be discouraged by the remnants of material desires within the heart. He should faithfully wait for the devotional process to naturally purify the heart of all contamination. So don't give up hope. All these verses are saying it will happen. The unripe mango will become a ripe mango. It will happen to you. So then the next, Jiva Goswami says, to show contempt for the diligent pursuit of knowledge, he speaks the next verse. And this is a similar verse to first canto, the second chapter, verse 21. Vidyate hridaya grantis chityante savasanshaya shiyante chas karmani mayitishte kilatmani. The knot in the heart is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces, and the chain of fruitive actions is terminated when I am seen as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what, who can tell me? Oh, it's right there in the purport. What is the knot in the heart? Obviously, ahankara, yes. Hridaya granti indicates one's heart is bound to illusion by false identification with the material body. Now, it is said that this verse, so the verse 27-28 was bhajana kriya, verse 29 was anartana vritti nishta ruchi. This verse is asakti, according to somebody, which I didn't put the name. Oh, yes, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Asakti, asakti. You have some attachment, strong attachment. Hridaya granti. So the heart is bound to illusion, absorbed in material sex pleasure, and you cannot understand Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. But when you get steadiness, nishta, and ruchi, pleasure at every moment, then the knot is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, asakti when you get to asakti, ahankara is destroyed. This takes place on its own, not with the endeavor or desire of the devotee. It has been said, Jarayatyashya kosha nigriyanam analo yatha, 325-33. Bhakti quickly destroys the subtle body, just as the digestive fire consumes food. Thus there's no possibility of doubts. All the karmas, even prarabdha karmas, are destroyed. What a wonderful moment to happen in your life when all your karma is destroyed, all your doubts are destroyed, and you are feeling very great attachment to Krishna. And so this is the meaning of Naishkarmyam, Vishnu Chakravarti says. So the verse in the first canto, in that purport, Prabhupada explains a similar thing. Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculation about absolute truth are like the darkest midnight. Darkest midnight when you speculate. It's like midnight. You're blind. As soon as the Krishna sun is arisen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculation about absolute truth and living beings is at once cleared off. And he also says an interesting thing. In the presence of the sun, the darkness cannot stand, and the relative truths that were hidden within the dense darkness of ignorance become clearly manifested by the mercy of Krishna, who is residing in everyone's heart as super soul. Not only the dark maya goes away, the relative truths hidden in the darkness are revealed. Isn't that? I wonder what those relative truths are. Anyway, relative truths. 1, 2, 21. Purport. And then Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavad Gita 10:11, what is that verse? Teshame vanukampartam aham agyanajamtama. Out of compassion, I dwelling in the heart, destroy with darkness of knowledge with the shining, darkness of ignorance with the shining lamp of knowledge. He personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of the devotee. So Prabhupada says the Lord personally takes charge of illuminating the heart of the devotee. And not only that, he unties the knot of spirit and matter. Krishna comes in the heart and he unties the knot, because there is a knot there of Hridaya Granthi. So he comes personally and he unties the knot. So we're free. As soon as this knot is loosened, all the clouds of doubt are at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruitive action. Isn't that wonderful? So these verses are very wonderful verses about the progression of bhakti from bhajana kriya to asakti. In asakti, we will have that realization, we will have that personal touch of Krishna who comes and unties the knot in the heart. And verse 31, it explains what does it mean that the Lord is seen. Of course, that's verse 30. He personally appears before the devotee by the power of devotional service. That's verse 30. Well, it says in the Sanskrit, Mayi jishte kilatmani, you will see the Lord face to face. You'll see him in your heart. So then, in 31, therefore, for a devotee engaged in my loving service, with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection within this world. So bhakti is supreme. It is not the highest thing to... You cannot get the highest perfection by knowledge and renunciation alone. If you're engaged in the service, then that's enough. So paragraph 2, within this world, one's heart is bound by sex attraction, which disturbs one's meditation on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Intoxicated by contact with women, the conditioned soul becomes artificially proud and forgets his loving servitude to the Lord. Through determined cultivation of knowledge and detachment of condition, soul may try to purify himself without the mercy of Lord Krishna. But such false pride is to be given up, just as one must give up the false pride of material attraction. So who are these people who have determined cultivation of knowledge and detachment? Who is he talking about here? Gyanis and yogis. They try to attain perfection without Krishna, without the mercy. They try to do it on their own. They're very independent, the gyanis and yogis. When pure devotional service to the Lord is available to a conditioned soul, attraction to other processes is certainly a deviation in his devotional career. So it is very bad if a devotee if someone comes to devotional service, then he gives it up to do these things, to cultivate knowledge and renunciation. Gives up devotional service to renounce or to learn to become a great scholar. And it has happened. Even when Prabhupada was here, one of my godbrothers, he did that. He gave up bhakti to go and learn to get some knowledge. And so these things happen to devotees on the path. And so that's why these verses are here, that you don't think that knowledge and renunciation are higher than bhakti. Okay, so then Sridhar Swami comments on this verse 31. In this verse, three methods of attaining spiritual realization are described. What are those three methods? Bhakti, Gyan, and Vairagya. Because devotional service does not depend on any other method, and because other methods depend on devotional service is the best. That is the conclusion of the three verses that begin here. Okay. So then, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, it is a fault to bring in Gyan and Vairagya when bhakti is present. Just as attachment and hatred are functions of avidya, Gyan and Vairagya are functions of vidya. So we don't want to bring in avidya, and we also don't want to bring in vidya into bhakti. Vidya and avidya, they're part of the material world, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Though Gyan and Vairagya naturally exist in bhakti, ahankara is destroyed by bhakti alone. So what does that mean? That means that the gyanis and the vairagis are still proud. So therefore, their ahankara is just getting bigger instead of smaller. And only by bhakti can the ahankara be destroyed. And he says this will be explained in the 25th chapter. Moreover, gyan in the form of realization of the Lord and vairagya in the form of distaste, which are beyond the gunas, since they arise from bhakti, will naturally appear. Now we had a verse in the 11th canto which told us that three things naturally appear for one who is engaged in devotional service. And one of them is knowledge and one is vairagya. Detachment is one. But what is the verse? Bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir anyata sa chaisha jika eka kala. Okay, 11.2.42. Okay, now here's an interesting comment by Vishwanath. The word generally, praya, is used because at the first stage of shanta bhakti, sometimes gyan and vairagya are accepted without harm. So this is a shanta bhakta who is engaging in gyan and vairagya, a beginner in the first stage of shantaras, shanta bhakti. There may be gyan and vairagya. Practitioners of austerity and bhakti are those who worship the Lord while practicing yukta vairagya without giving up the desire for liberation. Without. Since obstacles to bhakti are destroyed by attaining liberation, so they still have that desire. Now in Madhya Lila 22.46, this verse is quoted. And Srila Prabhupada gives a purport. And he says, these are important instructions given directly by Lord Krishna. Sri Uddhava asked the Lord about two kinds of instructions given in the Vedas, and that's Pravriti Marga and Nivriti Marga. So sometimes one does not know whether to practice speculative knowledge and mystic yoga for advancement in spiritual knowledge. So Krishna explains to Uddhava the mechanical process of speculative knowledge and yoga is not necessary for advancing in devotional service. It is completely spiritual, has nothing to do with material things. It is awakened by hearing and chanting in association of devotees. So it's not necessary. And there's another verse, Madhya 22:147, and it's quoting Narada Muni is speaking to Mrigari, the hunter. Oh, hunter, good qualities like nonviolence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing, for those who are engaged in the Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy. 22:147. And this verse is quoted in Shri Bhaktya Lok by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the fourth chapter, I guess. And he says something very interesting. He says, the temple of Krishna Prema is situated on the highest peak of Goloka Vrindavan. So you got that? Now we're in Goloka Vrindavan. The highest peak is the temple of Krishna Prema. In order to reach that peak, now we're back down here in the material world, one has to cross the 14 planetary systems of Karma Kunda. Do you know that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Alok. Four. He says, so the temple is Krishna Prem in Goloka is up there. And in this world, we have to cross the 14 planetary systems of Karma Kunda, the Viraja Brahma Loka of Gyanakunda. So he's saying we have to cross the 14 in this world, it's Karma Kunda. And then beyond this world is Gyanakunda, Brahma Loka, Viraja. And then rise above Vaikuntha. By gradually giving up attachment to the stages of karma and gyan, one becomes eligible for bhakti. After crossing the various stages of bhakti, one reaches the temple door of prema. Isn't that nice? Interesting. We have to cross all these different levels, planetary systems, to get to bhakti and pass viraja. Then, what is the only rule for the people established on the level of bhakti? Shraddha. Shraddha is the only rule, faith, he says. As anarthas or unwanted habits are destroyed by the power of devotional service performed under the shelter of sadhu and guru, that shraddha transforms into devotional service with nishtha, or firm faith. As anarthas are further destroyed, one progresses from the level of nishtha to ruchi, or taste, from ruchi to asakti, or attachment, from asakti to bhava, or emotion. When bhava, in the form of rati, or affection, is mixed with the appropriate ingredients, it becomes rasa. Then he quotes a verse from 11th canto, 14th chapter, verse 26. When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth in my subtle spiritual form. So, now back to Madhurya Kadambini in the first chapter. These verses are really quoted a lot to explain the levels of bhakti, the different stages. So, in Madhurya Kadambini, he says, these scriptural evidences, and he includes this verse 31, clearly indicate for the yogis, gyanis, and karmis to become successful in their individual paths. Their engagement in devotional service is imperative. They must do devotional service. Whereas, to get perfection in bhakti, you don't need yoga, gyan, karma, or any other process. Yes. And what the example Prabhupada gives is that illiterate Brahmana in South India, he didn't have knowledge how to read Bhagavad Gita properly. But his bhakti was amazing, and Lord Chaitanya embraced him because he had bhakti. He didn't have knowledge. He had bhakti. So bhakti doesn't depend on knowledge or Sanskrit pronunciation in these things. It depends on your service attitude. Okay, and he quotes the next two verses as well. It's also quoted in Madhurya Kadambini 32 and 33, and we'll get to that very soon. But before that, we have another quote, Madhurya Kadambini, and this verse is quoted for somebody who's on the level of Vyuta Vikalpa, should I enjoy or should I renounce? Should I enjoy or should I renounce? Then he says, and he misquotes in verse 31. Yeah, 31 says, there's no need of knowledge and renunciation. So he kind of misquotes the verse to justify his enjoyment. Well, first he says, should I just spend my life happily in family life, making my wife and children Krishna conscious, or should I give them all up and go to Vrindavan to perfect myself by engaging full-time in hearing and chanting? Should I wait till the last stage after enjoying all sorts of pleasures? And I finally understood the whole material world is simply a forest fire of affliction. Or is it better I renounce right now? Then he quotes all these verses. and then, should I thus give up unreliable family life while still young? On the other hand, it's not proper to renounce immediately. Shouldn't I wait till the death of my old parents? And then he quotes from the 17th chapter of 11th canto. My parents are old, my wife with a mere infant in her arms, and other young children. And then he quotes another verse. And if one gives up family life, when he's not satisfied, his mind will dwell on family life. And then he quotes this verse. And Gan and Vairagya are not beneficial in the practice of devotional service, so I should enjoy. Therefore, I should stay in my family and enjoy. And so this is, he's going back and forth to bhog and tyag, bhog and tyag, bhog and tyag. And he can't make up his mind. So then, Vishnu Chakravarti comments, according to this verse 31, renunciation is a fault for the culture of bhakti. Now, he says something nice. If it arises from bhakti itself, however, that renunciation is not a fault, but an effect on ubhava of bhakti and subordinate to it. Then he goes on. And he quotes a verse, yad yad ashramam agat sa bhikshukas. In whatever ashram, the sannyasi state, he always got more than enough to eat. In the life of renunciation, there's no worry for maintenance, so maybe I should renounce. But on the other hand, he keeps going on and on, taking one verse for renunciation, one for enjoyment. Household life is only a prison for those who are attached. For a devotee, there's no harm in household life. So I'll stay at home, chant, hear, and engage in service, just like Maharaj Ambarish. So he just goes on and on. And the next day, should I renounce? No. Should I enjoy? Should I leave? Should I stay? So that's the third level of unsteady devotional service. Okay, so these verses are, this verse was used by him to whoever that person is in that level. They have knowledge of the scriptures, but sometimes they just use it to justify their behavior. If they want to enjoy, then they'll take the verses and say, Gyanu Vraga is not useful for family, for bhakti. I will just do bhakti, and I will not renounce. Then if he wants to renounce, then he'll find the verses to say, it's a poison, you should give up family life. So this is what's happening in this unsteady level of devotional service. So 32, 33, again, confirms the point of 31. Everything that can be achieved by food of activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. If somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation, or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. Report. Lord Krishna here reveals the transcendental glories of devotional service to the Lord. Although pure devotees are desireless, desiring only the Lord's service, sometimes a great devotee may desire the Lord's benediction to facilitate his loving service. Yes, what's an example? Desiring the Lord's benediction to facilitate your service. Yes. With ladies. Yeah, okay. Chitraketu, he wanted to do Harinam along with the beautiful Vidyadhara ladies. So it would be a help for him if he had the airplane with the beautiful ladies to do Harinam Sankirtan. Yes, that's somewhere, I think, in our notes here as well. I read that. Okay, another example of asking a benediction to facilitate your service. Dhruva, he wasn't thinking of bhakti. He didn't think he needed a kingdom to do bhakti. He just wanted a kingdom. Bus. Yes?
Yudhishthira, desiring to become an emperor to glorify Krishna.
Yeah, do the Rajasiya sacrifice. Yeah, he wanted to do the Rajasiya sacrifice to glorify Krishna. Okay, who else? He asked something to facilitate his service. I'm thinking about third canto now. Somebody in third canto asked for something? Kardama Muni. He asked for a wife because he's a Prajapati and that's his service. He has to have children. Now, without a wife, he can't do that. Yes?
Arjuna.
Arjuna.
He wanted certain weapons, you know, to fight in a battle.
He wanted weapons, okay? Yes.
Brahmaji, creative intelligence.
Creative intelligence. He was praying for creative intelligence. Yes. That's a facility. You need a lot of intelligence to create the universe. For sure. Okay? Empowering to speak. Facility. Okay. So, in the sixth canto, oh yeah, here it is. It's right there. It's in the purport. Chittaketu, a great devotee of the Lord, desired promotion to heaven so that accompanied by the most attractive ladies of Vidyadhara planet, he could beautifully chant the glories of the Lord. Shukadeva Goswami, desiring to avoid entanglement in the illusory potency of the Lord, would not come out of his mother's womb. In other words, Shukadeva desired apavargam, or liberation, from Maya, so his devotional service would not be disturbed. Now Krishna personally sent the illusory energy far away so that Shukadeva Goswami would come out of his mother's womb. Because of intense loving desire to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee may also desire promotion to the spiritual world. So we'll go to the last paragraph of the purport. The word itarai in this verse indicates visiting holy places, accepting religious vows, and so forth. Several auspicious processes of elevation are mentioned in the verse preceding this, but all the auspicious results of these processes, that's verse 32, are easily achieved by loving service to the Lord. Thus all devotees of the Lord, in whatever stage of advancement, should dedicate their energy exclusively to the Lord's service, is affirmed second canto, Rishi Shukadeva Goswami. Kama sarakama vamukshakama dharati tivena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desire, without any material desire, desiring liberation, must by all means worship the supreme whole personality of Godhead. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the second volume, second chapter, verse 205, it is described about karma, jnana, and vairagya. Ritual duties distract one from devotional service, so that's the karma kanda. Renunciation dries up one's transcendental taste for her, and knowledge can do her harm. But these three, when purified, faithfully serve her. So without bhakti, or without Krishna, then the karma, the jnana, and the vairagya do harm to bhakti. But if they're with bhakti, then they will serve. So, commentary, serious Vaishnavas should give up whatever does not serve the purpose of pure devotional service. So, what we have to follow is Patikuyasya Vardhanam and the other one, Anukuyasya Sankalpa. Anukuyasya Sankalpa or Patikuyasya Vardhanam. Give up everything that is detrimental to devotional service and accept everything that is favorable. The Karmakanda injunctions of the Vedas obscure the path of devotion with hundreds of obligatory rituals. Just imagine if Prabhupada gave us the Vedas and we just would not have made it. And practicing detachment from all worldly things dries up the attractive taste of devotional practice. The indifference recommended in devotional service, however, is distinct from the renunciation undertaken by impersonalists, because devotional renunciation selectively rejects only those things that cannot be used in the Lord's service, like meat, fish, and eggs. So then, these verses are all quoted in this purport here, from 31 to 33. Okay, so we will go to the next verse, 34. Because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. So the devotees, they want Krishna only. Purport. The words Ikantino Mama indicate pure devotees of the Lord, being saintly and most intelligent, dedicate themselves exclusively to devotional service of personality of Godhead. Even when the Lord offers them personal liberation from birth and death, the devotee will not accept it. Is there any example of the Lord offering somebody liberation and the devotee does not accept it? Yes? Who? Prahlad Maharaj, okay? Prahlad Maharaj is an example. A pure devotee automatically gains an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the Lord's personal abode, thus considers mere liberation without loving service of the Lord to be most abominable. So Prabhupada one time was asked the question, which is better, to go back to Godhead or to preach, come back and preach, or to stay here and preach? And he gave different answers. I think for Burijan, he said, you shouldn't stay here, right? I don't remember exactly what he said, but that was the conclusion. But this was a Chutananda when he asked Prabhupada, you know, should we, what is the best? And Prabhupada said, one who is preaching, he's already back to Godhead. He's liberated. He's a liberated soul. So this is Jivan Mukta. Devotee, he's already liberated. So therefore, he doesn't. Why does he need liberation? One who chants Lord Krishna's holy name or superficially serves the Lord with the motive of achieving impersonal liberation or material sense gratification cannot be considered a transcendental devotee of the Lord. As long as one desires mundane religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, one cannot achieve the platform of samadhi or perfect self-realization. Okay. So this verse is quoted in the 10th canto, 82nd chapter, verse 48, when Krishna is explaining to the gopis. Or the gopis are, I think that's, no, that's the verse that the gopis are speaking this verse, that we want to always keep your lotus feet in our heart. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, to interpret this verse as follows. And this is the verse, I think you memorized it. It's verse 48. I can't remember how it starts. But let us always keep your, although we are in the dark well of household life, let us keep your lotus feet in our hearts. Ahushtate nalina naba pararvinda. So the gopis, they have the actual mood of this verse 34. When they say this verse and when Vishwanath explains it to us, then we can see that this is actually the purport for this verse 34. The gopis say, O sun, S-U-N, who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. We are Chakora birds who can subsist only on the moonlight radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us and in this way bring us back to life. So for the gopis, this knowledge is burning, like scorching them. And they don't appreciate it at all. They don't appreciate this knowledge, this philosophical knowledge. So in Garuda Purana, the glory of pure devotees like this is described. This is from Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. A performer of yajnas is better than many thousands of brahmanas. A scholar who has crossed to the farther shore of Vedanta is better than many thousands of performers of yajnas. A devotee of Lord Vishnu is better than many millions of scholars learned in Vedanta. A pure devotee of Lord Vishnu is better than many thousands of devotees who have not yet come to the stage of pure devotion. So this is describing this devotee in verse 34, and the gopis are an example of that. That verse 35. It is said, the complete detachment is the highest state of freedom. Therefore, one who has no personal desire and does not pursue personal rewards can achieve loving devotional service unto me. So then that verse is quoted again, seems to be a theme in these purports, Akama Sarvakama Va. Then he quotes Prabhupada, as the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and is therefore called Tivra. Similarly, unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing, chanting, etc., may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. So whatever motive you have, it doesn't matter if you're chanting Hare Krishna. Undoubtedly, in this age of Kali, people are generally very fallen and polluted by material lust, greed, anger, lamentation, and so forth. In this age, most people are sarvakama, or full of material desires. Still, we must understand, simply by taking shelter of Lord Krishna, we will achieve everything in life. Living entities should not engage in any process except loving service of the Lord. One must accept Lord Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure, and only Lord Krishna within our heart can fulfill our real desire. This simple faith that one will achieve everything by approaching Lord Krishna is the essence of all knowledge and carries even a fallen person over the painful hurdles of this difficult age. So this is the faith that Krishna Bhakti, no, yeah, Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy, that if I simply engage in devotional service, I'll get everything. I don't have to worry about anything. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. No, we will go to this. No, it's over here. Quotes from Jiva Goswami. Those who taste the sweetness of devotional service are beyond rules, prohibitions, virtues, and vices, and this is explained in verse 36. Material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this world, cannot exist within my unalloyed devotees, who, being free from material hankering, maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Indeed, such devotees have achieved me, the Supreme Lord, who am beyond anything that can be conceived by material intelligence. So who is the example of this type of devotee? Who is beyond material piety and sin. Yes? Vichasura? Okay, even though he's born as a demon, demonic family, he was beyond material piety and sin. Who else? Was beyond material piety and sin. What's an example? Yes? Gopis, very good. The gopis, they look like the most sinful, because they're going to dance with Krishna at night, leaving their husbands. But actually, they're beyond piety and sin. Yes. Okay. So we'll go to purport paragraph 2. There are cases of highly elevated devotees. Now he's talking about something else in this purport here. Who momentarily fell down from the saintly platform of devotional service. The Lord instructs in Bhagavad Gita. Apichet surachara bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva samantavya samyavya vasito hisaha. A momentary fall down by a sincere devotee of the Lord cannot change the Lord's feelings towards such a person. Even an ordinary father or mother quickly excuses a momentary transgression by their child. Just as children and parents enjoy mutual love, the Lord's surrendered servants enjoy a loving relationship with the Lord. An unpremeditated, accidental fall down is quickly excused by the Lord, and all members of society must share in the Lord's own feelings, excusing such a sincere devotee. An advanced devotee should not be branded as materialistic or sinful because of accidental fall down. A devotee immediately returns to the platform of saintly service and begs the Lord's forgiveness. However, one who permanently remains in a fallen condition can no longer be accepted as a highly elevated devotee of the Lord. So that's the difference. Accidental means you come back and you repent, and you repent your fall down. And you don't. But someone who doesn't change, who doesn't come back, who continues, you cannot accept, oh, this is an advanced devotee. If he's still, you know, keeps on the platform of fall down, then we cannot accept that. But if the person comes back and regrets everything, then he is forgiven. and by the Lord, so we should also forgive. Okay, so comment by Jiva Goswami. The state of being an unalloyed devotee is attained by having faith in devotional service. When one is attracted to the Lord, one naturally respects the rules and regulation described in scriptures. Attraction is very rare. If a person has no respect for rules and regulation of scriptures and thinks himself an unalloyed devotee, he's merely a proud hypocrite. And there's a verse from Nectar of Devotion, which is quoted from Brahma Yamala, that says that. One who ignores devotion, that ignores devotional service, ignores the Narada Pancharatra, Upanishads, Puranas, is an unnecessary disturbance in society. Okay. So one more thing from Biha Bhagavatamrita on this verse, 36. 401. And this is chapter 2, verse 204. Yes, 204. The goal cannot be achieved by one who cares for knowledge, renunciation, and material success. It is only for one who, by Sri Krishna's mercy, depends on Krishna's devotional service and nothing else. So there's a question here. Since Krishna is naturally compassionate to every soul, why doesn't everyone obtain pure devotional service? Good question. Since he's merciful, why doesn't everybody just get pure devotional service? And the answer is, the special mercy of devotional service acts only when a candidate has no interest in karma, gyan, or anything other than bhakti. Only such a person will be receptive to Krishna's mercy. Then he quotes, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. So to be receptive to Krishna's mercy, then we have to give up karma, gyan, and vairagya. And so there's a huge purport. If you like, you can all read it. We don't read that because we don't have time. Let's go to the last verse. Here's an example. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to the devotees of the Lord. This is from Nityananda Charita. Lord Nityananda happily enjoyed the pastimes of Nam Sankirtan with his servants. As he previously enjoyed his pastimes in Vrindavan, Nityananda enacted his pastimes in Navadvip. He made everyone in this world fully attached to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He wandered all over Navadvip with his most enthusiastic associates. He decorated himself with beautiful ornaments and flower garlands. Betel nuts and camphor reddened his lips. Seeing the extraordinary pastimes of Lord Nityananda, many people became happy, while others did not know what to make of him. So he's an example of someone who didn't follow the rules and regulations. So a Brahmana lived in Navadvip who was a classmate of Lord Chaitanya. Seeing the mysterious behavior of Nityananda, this Brahmana had a doubt. He had firm faith and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, but he failed to understand the potency of Nityananda. Once he went to Nilachal for some days and regularly visited Lord Chaitanya, for he had firm faith in his lotus feet. One day he wanted to ask something of the Lord when he was alone. He said, "Oh Lord, I want to ask you if you'll allow me. If you really think me your servant, please answer my question. I don't understand what this Nityananda Avadut is doing at Navadvip. Everyone says he's a sannyasi, but to everyone's surprise, he chews betel nut with camphor. A sannyasi is not supposed to touch gold, but Nityananda decorates his whole body with gold, silver, and pearls. Abandoning kopan and saffron robes, he dresses himself with fine and gorgeous clothing, and he puts sandalwood paste on his body. Why does he carry an iron stick instead of a sannyas danda? He always mingles with shudras. I don't find his behavior in accordance with the scriptures. So I have a doubt in my heart. Everyone addresses him as an exalted person, but he doesn't follow the rules and regulation of his ashram. Oh Lord, if you think me your servant, please explain the truth. Since the pious Brahmin inquired from the Lord at an auspicious moment, Lord Gorsunder explained everything. He said, he quoted this verse, Shinobipra maha adhikari je bahoi, tabetar doi guna kichuna janmoi. Listen, my dear Brahman, faults or defects do not affect an exalted person. And then he quotes this verse. Material piety and sin cannot exist in my unalloyed devotees. So then, he says, as water does not touch a lotus leaf, so no faults touch Nityananda. You should know, Krishna eternally resides in Nityananda's body. Those disregarding an exalted person will suffer miseries and reap sinful reactions. The Puranas say, if anyone other than Lord Shiva drinks poison, he will surely die. Then he quotes 10:33, 29-30. That is, Tejiyasam Nadoshaya. You should not see faults in the powerful controllers, and you should not imitate also the powerful controllers. So this is then it goes on with all the what happens if you do. So then verse 37, those who seriously follow the methods of achieving me that I have personally taught attain freedom from illusion, and upon reaching my personal abode at last perfectly understand the absolute truth. So we'll read from Uddhava Gita, comment by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati in verse 37. Purport, unrestricted sense gratifiers, sense gratification, performance of fruitive activities, and engagement in mental speculation cannot be the ultimate religion for the living entities, because these practices are born from aversion to the Lord's service. Ooh, heavy. They are temporary and incomplete. So the path of karma, gyan, are born from aversion to service to Krishna, according to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. Devotees who follow instructions of the Supreme Lord become liberated from the clutches of all inauspiciousness by accepting the path of devotional service. And such devotees obtain the ultimate benefit, transferring themselves to the abode of the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha. So, any questions or comments on Adi Purush? Question?
Yes, I have a question on verse 31.
31.
Where there's you mentioned this nice comment by Sri Vishnu Nath, where he says that even if Brahma. No, it's on verse 29.
27,
where he says that even. If I'm unable to be free from the vice, even if Lord Brahma comes and tells me to do, I do not accept karma or jnana, even if Brahma personally comes and orders me.
Yeah, is that in the purport? Yeah.
It's in Sri Vishwanath's making also in the purport.
Yeah. It's in the purport,
yes.
I think so. Even if Lord Brahma. Yeah, it's in the purport.
So,
yeah.
What are these karma and jnana that he rejects? Because he obviously is engaged in karma. If he practices bhakti, we see that Krishna Katha is chock full of what he rejects, what karma and jnana does he reject?
He's rejecting that which has no relationship with Krishna. Like, he's doing bhakti with his family, so there's relationship. He's trying to make them devotees. He's chanting and hearing. He's doing things. But if Brahma comes and gives him What that's my understanding, that he's offering him something without relationship to Krishna, then that would be rejected.
Like what?
Like, become Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma is a devotee.
Well, not necessarily. You can rule the planet, you can be a karmi.
You may not be a pure devotee.
Can be a karmi or jnani. Also, remember that purport?
Some
Mishra must be there. Yeah, that's true. What else could he offer? Go to heavenly planets.
Liberation.
No, not liberation. He's talking about mental speculation. Even if Lord Brahma, fruitive activities. I guess heavenly planets could be.
And Gyan.
And Gyan would be. Yeah, it sounds like association with Gyanis somewhere. No? where that might be in one of those lokas. You know, the sannyasi, the perfect, they can go to like Maharloka and Janaloka.
They also seem to be devotees.
There are devotees there. There are devotees there. You can associate with devotees in those planets. Anywhere you can. But it's a good question anyway. I would just think it would be something without Krishna that he's offering.
It's interesting about association. Maybe like being sent to Varanasi.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Go to Varanasi. Free scholarship to the college for Sanskrit. Sanskrit college. Go to Varanasi. Yeah, that's an idea. Any other questions or comments on... Yes? If you're surrendered to the will of the Lord, okay? Then you can go beyond piety and sin. Okay? Anybody else have a comment? Yes? Question? What?
Full faith in the Lord.
Full faith in the Lord. Yes, higher than knowledge. Yeah, he was saying that this bhakti is based on shraddha. So that's higher than gyan. He said all the levels of bhakti are based on shraddha, faith. So this faith is higher than knowledge without faith. And Prabhupada says an ounce of faith is worth tons of faithlessness. Yes. So just simple knowledge is not... Yeah, materialistic.
Impersonal.
Yeah, impersonal.
It means
yeah.
Faith in the personality.
Right, right. Faith, shraddha means faith in Krishna. And it's higher than impersonal knowledge, or just knowledge
about the soul
and matter, distinguishing spirit and matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was faith in deity worship.
Yeah. That was Vishnu Chakravarti. Uh-huh. Faith and deity worship. Yeah, I remember that too. Adipurush?
These two verses, 32-33, that everything is obtained
by bhakti.
They mm-hmm. seem to be favorites of Sri Vishnu. He quotes them like hundreds of times.
Okay. Favorites of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur.
Like in the Gita, he quotes them like 3, 4, 5, 10 times. And
Mm-hmm. 32 and 33. Everything can be attained by bhakti, and there's a whole list here. Easily achieved. That's an important word, because these other ones are difficult paths. Karmakanda, austerity, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity. It's all very difficult.
In his commentaries, like every few pages or chapters, he quotes these.
He quotes these verses. Okay, we'll stop here.